Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And it's almost Earth Day.
It's almost Earth Day. I know. I love it.
Okay. Right?
So in a couple days, April 22nd, Earth Day. Although, I mean, frankly, when we are in beautiful Sonoma County, we celebrate Earth Day year-round with our vineyards and agriculture. Don't you think?
Well, that's a statement.
Right?
Is there more to...
Every day is Earth Day in Sonoma County.
Yes, every day is. And so what are the wine growers doing at this point in time, this spring?
Yeah, so appropriately for Earth Day, we actually just hosted this past week a roundtable on innovation in agriculture. The organization's called Thrive, SVG Thrive. They're one of the original ag tech venture capitalists. Okay. And they invest in sort of startup companies that are that actually support and innovate in specialty crops, which obviously a lot of times specialty crops don't get that sort of resource. Mm-hmm. And so they had some of their partners in town earlier this week, and we're just sort of talking about how we better work together across specialty crops and how we, what kind of technology innovation do we need and how do we better sort of share learning on what we're all doing. So it was a pretty insightful couple of days and look forward to being more involved with all of their activities. But yeah.
So what sort of things do they invest in? Like watering systems?
Everything. So like one of our partners is Agrology, and mm-hmm. they were early seed money for Agrology and then put them in their, I guess that's kind of like their investor, I won't say, lack of a better word, like mentorship group, where they really sort of help them continue to build their business plan, help them get connected to partners and give them sort of counsel along the way as they're sort of starting their business. So we now are piloting Agrology, which are carbon sensors, in 7 vineyards. I think there are additional vineyards, but in 7 vineyards around the county that we're really tracking different practices and seeing kind of how temperatures change in the soil and are we able to build more organic soil matter and kind of what's the water holding capacity in the soil. So all of these practices having the ability to actually real-time data understand the impacts you're mm-hmm. making mm-hmm. is incredibly helpful.
And so they put money into things that, you know, would be not just for grapes, but anything sort of smaller sure. size in the yeah. overall ag scene.
Yeah. So what happens, right, is that typically if you're going to create a product that's only going to be able to be used in specialty crops, the market size of that is really small. So those organizations, companies that are doing that sort of innovation, tech, et cetera, really need as much help because they're not going to be able to take it to the Midwest to thousands and thousands of acres yeah. of corn and soybean. It's just a very different model. So it's really great to have someone like SVG that's really made a mission to support specialty crops and bring innovation to specialty crops and find those partners that need that boost, especially in the beginning, to kind of figure out what the market opportunity is. And then...
So what else is considered a specialty crop in your experience? Like what
almost
are these companies
all of California.
About?
So I mean, right? It's like almonds and pistachios and avocados and
really?
Strawberries. Yeah. So there's most of California is planted a specialty crop. It's kind of what I would say. It's almost everything that's not the big.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
would be like wheat, corn, soybeans, dairy.
Okay.
So cattle,
what about rice.
That's a great question.
Because California, rice, traditionally has done a lot of rice.
No, rice would be a specialty crop, as would prunes.
Okay.
That have a history here. I do believe rice is a special crop. That's actually a
prune
great question.
Packers.
I know.
Yeah, what about, and then raisin or table grapes, I should
table
say.
Table grapes
like
are definitely.
Raisins and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. So interesting. So across California, they have, you know, they can share a lot of knowledge, invest, you know, help a lot of different smaller business entities and take the technology, hopefully.
I stand corrected.
Elsewhere.
So even though we have rice in California, it's actually not considered. So the grains, I mentioned wheat, corn, so none of the grains are specialty crops. So that makes sense. So rice goes with the non-specialty.
Okay. And then livestock, what about ducks? Like
ooh, I don't
we
know.
Have, you know,
so
specialty
The following groups are not, so let me tell you what's not considered. How about
I'm so
that?
I'm so intrigued. I'm like,
grains,
what is a specialty crop?
Oilseed crops, bioenergy crops like sugarcane, hay, okay. alfalfa, clover, not field crops like peanut, sugar beet, cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then I'm going right into it. I'm now on USDA's website and going to read you the definition of specialty crop because, oh, wow, no, that's a page. So we'll maybe have to save that for another time.
Yeah, maybe that's something we talk about.
But they're defined by law as fruits and vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, and horticulture and nursery crops, including floriculture.
Okay.
So there you go.
Very good. We will be right back to continue this conversation and more on The Good Stuff. In studio here on The Good Stuff with our guest, Prema Karolis, co-founder, general manager of Three Sticks Wines. I'm super excited to have you in studio. Nice woo to woo. See you always. Love these wines. So welcome.
Thank you. I am delighted to be here.
Yeah, so exciting.
I know.
So fun.
There's so much to talk about. Always, yeah. always with our guests. But okay, we will get into kind of Three Sticks and how Three Sticks started and your role in that. But we want to know a little bit more about you first. Like,
great.
Did you grow up loving wine? Did you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Who am I?
What is your story?
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Marin County, actually. And my family, my mom, my parents, and my stepdad have a long history in hospitality, restaurants, food. My mom and stepfather met while he was the head chef and she was the general manager of a restaurant. So food and hospitality has been a huge part of my life since I was a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom is also English. And so wine was just naturally on the table. There wasn't like a thing around it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something that I got to taste and, you know, it just really was a part culturally of our family gatherings.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as I, you know, growing up in the Bay Area and in Northern California, you know, wine is the thing that you drink.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
You know, even in college, it was like, you know, handles of Gallo or whatever, like, you know, yep. like little jugs of wine and stuff. So, yeah, wine, it's my
it's
thing.
It's the beverage.
It's the beverage. Yeah.
yeah. Did they have a restaurant in Marin?
They met in Palo Alto, actually.
Okay.
It was an Italian Piatti's restaurant back in the day. So.
And, yeah. You know, I always find, like, chefs, it's really their wine knowledge can be hit or miss. Sometimes chefs really know nothing
yeah.
about wine,
yeah.
Which is kind of shocking always to me. But did your stepdad, did he break that norm a little
he
bit?
He did. He did and continues to. He actually works for the Napa Valley Vintners.
Oh.
So he is, like,
oh my gosh.
Totally in wine and has been with them for, I don't
I
know,
had no
10,
idea.
10 or 15 years. Yeah.
What an okay. interesting yeah. little tidbit.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. yeah, so he's in that other valley.
Yeah.
right, but a very effective organization when it comes to
yeah.
you know, telling
yeah.
the Napa story and
yeah.
keeping the vintners together and all that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
And
okay.
my mom's done projects. Like, she worked for a company called Souterage, which is, you know, mm-hmm. wine collections.
I remember Souterage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
so. Okay, so you're really into wine.
We're wine through and through.
Yeah.
From start to finish. Okay, so at what point, so then what happens? You grow up with wine, you love wine, it's all normal. You're drinking Gallo in college.
Yeah. And Strawberry Hill, I think it was called. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But yeah, and so, you know, I didn't intend to get into wine. I worked in Washington, D.C. actually for a while on Capitol Hill for, at the time, was Senator Boxer and
oh, yeah.
saw how
oh,
that
wow.
worked.
Yeah.
The dysfunction of Washington was cool. And then came back.
So you're drinking a lot of wine then.
Yeah,
yeah, I was
yeah
saying,
exactly.
The drinking
a lot
culture
of,
is
drinking a lot,
intense.
Period. Yeah.
mm-hmm.
And then came back to work in private equity. I started working at TPG Capital in 2000 and was a sort of junior administrative helper and like quickly kept taking on more responsibility. And I started working with Bill Price, who's one of their founding partners.
Yeah.
And Three Sticks was like a tiny side project. He had made two barrels of wine
wow.
from Durell,
mm.
two barrels of Pinot Noir, and he was like, premise. It's like, it's too much for me. You know, I think I need to sell some of this wine. So I was like, no problem. And so I just made the mailing list and like created an order form in Excel and sold that wine. And then each year it grew a little bit and I did it again.
Like, well,
and then
I did
it
again. Selling it. So yeah. I'm going to make a little more. Right.
Like, keep buying vineyards. That's a good idea.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, and at that time it was just Durrell. And then, you know, so he started really focusing on vineyards and I started really, you know, I sort of took three sticks and was growing it. And you know, Don Van Staveren joined the mix. He was our winemaker at that time.
I remember those wines. Yeah.
One of my favorite human beings on the planet. And yeah, I mean, it was like, we were like, oh, I guess we need a website. I guess we need, you know, like yeah. And then wine started to accumulate. You know, once you start making like 600 cases, you're like, oh, like we have to like really do some more here.
This is legit.
Yeah. And so that's like circa like 2005, 2006.
But quickly with TPG, like, okay, so it's Texas Pacific Group, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Bill had been in that group, that private equity group, had been involved in wine beforehand.
Exactly. That's right? How he found Durrell. That's how he was connected to Ed Durrell, was the sort of famous Behringer Wine Estates deal that they made. Yeah. So they bought Behringer Wine Estates and then added on a few other properties, Chateau Souverain, I believe, Chateau Saint-Jean, like grew that and then eventually sold it to Foster's,
right,
which became
well, they call it Behringer Blast, I think, now.
Yes.
So it kind of went under some different names, but
Totally.
Or Diageo maybe for a minute, or Treasury.
It was Treasury.
Could be Treasury.
Yeah, it was Treasury. Yeah. So it was like the early time of Treasury wine.
He was serious. He was a wine guy pretty early on.
Oh yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the
same for him. He actually had a similar upbringing where his father had spent a lot of time in France, and so wine was just really a part of his life growing up. There was always wine on the table, and he had this love of France and Burgundy was the wines that he shared with his dad. And so that was really, for him, he calls himself the Pinot Hound. So he is all about Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. And that's really the name of the game for us.
Right. Yeah. But Durrell, I mean, so I remember very vividly, like when he first became the owner of Durrell.
Yeah, 1997.
And but that vineyard needed, you know, kind of a refresh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might we say?
Continually.
Yes, continually. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough vineyard.
A tough vineyard.
As it goes.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of soil at Durrell. It's like rocks. There's like a lot of rocks.
Right.
And there's a lot of different sort of microclimates too. So there's some incredible sort of sandy soils. It's a real hodgepodge in a way, but
it's a beautiful site.
Such a beautiful sight. Every time I go there, it gives me that sort of like goosebumps feeling of like, this is California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, mm-hmm. and I some years ago I thought of like California. It's like this, it's timeless.
Yeah.
You know, so I really love it. And it was the birthplace of Three Sticks, really. So
I do feel like that vineyard does transcend time. Like you drive around and you could imagine that it's 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And maybe it's the trees.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's something romantic about it.
Yeah.
But When did Three Sticks really become your full-time focus?
Full-time focus was 2009.
Okay.
2009.
Okay. So
when he left TPG and you know, sort of like pulled himself out of the partnership to a certain extent and was like, you know, I promise to not take any employees except for Prema. And so at that time I was able to like completely refocus myself and like set up like really what the next future was, and to invest in Three Sticks, and to at that time, like, we needed the website and, you know, different sales, like, you know, expanding our sales channels and
So I'm fascinated because you grew up with wine, but that doesn't mean you can be good at managing a wine business, selling wine, marketing wine, knowing what to do. So you're coming from a bit of a blank slate.
And totally.
So how did you learn and how did you sort of navigate, and especially at that time?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, I think I worked at TPG for 9 years, and that was a sort of an interesting, MBA program, like through absorption, yeah. right?
Yeah. MBA boot camp for 9 years straight.
Yes, because, you know, they're just constantly looking at businesses. And while I wasn't on the deal side of things, like just being in that environment and with that kind of thinking was really exciting. It was a really dynamic time. And I was very clear that even the little that I did for the firm was important to the sort of final end. And TPG wasn't cutthroat. Like, they really invested in businesses and like looked at management, you know, teams and resources and like made them work.
Yeah.
And when I really got my hands into Three Sticks, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I was like,
why are we investing in
this? Exactly. I'm like, I don't understand this. You know, the wine, like what?
Yeah.
Break this down for me,
but you
Bill.
Plant a vineyard, you wait 3 years to even pick one grape.
Right,
and then
totally.
Like, it's like in more years. It's not like for the faint of heart.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
In business dealings.
And a total crapshoot.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's a commitment, many years. And then, so I actually went and got an MBA in wine business from Sonoma State. And that was about 2010, 2011, the executive MBA program, which I love. And I was part of the first cohort. That to me was like, I'm going to get all my questions answered there.
right.
And instead, you probably left with 1,000 new questions. You're
right.
Like, okay, I got that. But now, what about this? Well,
yeah. And for me, it was the value of it was the cohort themselves and the people, because I did come into wine from a very different place than most and didn't know a lot of people in wine. I didn't have friends for benchmarking and for like, you know, are you seeing this? And so the friendships and the cohort that you know, they're still, I adore those human beings. I love them so much, and you know, they're all brilliant as far as I'm concerned, and
right.
you know, we stay connected.
But I actually love that about the wine community in general, and I see it with our farmers
firsthand.
Oh my gosh. Just about how collaborative it is. And you would think, I mean, I started my career in packaged goods companies, big, you know, big buildings in the middle of big cities. And it was cutthroat. I mean, and we would jokingly, my first job was marketing Honey Nut Cheerios. And we, you know, we had Snap, Crackle, and Pop hanging from the ceiling, you know, like, and Tony the Tiger was in a cage. And like, you know, sorry, Tony. I mean, it wasn't personal, but it was like very, like, we really saw the world of like our cereal versus their cereal. And I remember
shelf
for cereal, it was pretty cutthroat.
Yeah.
And so it was actually really refreshing for me to come into this wine and ag environment where, especially in Sonoma County and in the North Bay, I think there's just so much of that community aspect and like sharing. We want you to be successful because if someone's at your tasting room visiting and hanging out and they love wine, maybe they'll come next door and try my wine and we'll all succeed. And I love that about this.
Oh my gosh.
Community.
And it's why I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It's as I love wine as a product, it's part of my life. Like, it's magic, but it's the people in wine.
Yeah.
You know, that really is, they're so inspiring and it's an incredible community. And, you know, we've been through so much together over these last 7 years. And before that, even, you know, of course, but, it's just a tremendous community and that inspiration every day to be like, well, how can I do better for my team? How can I do better for my winery? And how can I do better for my community? Like, that's enough to get out of bed.
Absolutely.
Well, and your background too. And I think often, which is great, people come into the business because there is so much just passion.
Yes.
And then they figure out you have to actually run a business to support the passion. So to actually have a business background and really then, you know, treat it like a business with a product you love, I think is a really successful format, I guess.
Yeah. Because and I feel very lucky because I get to have the sort of entrepreneurial passion side of things that Bill definitely supports, but with business requirements and you know, like we have quarterly meetings and we've always driven this business as a business and so we get to have you both sides, you know.
Which is helpful. I mean, I think in good times and bad, it's nice to be able to refer back to a framework and a plan and is it working or is it not? And what are the metrics? And what are we changing? So you don't wake up one day and go, what happened?
Numbers
are good. Numbers can help you.
I love data.
Data is important. And I do think, it is one thing that the wine business or wine industry gets a knock on, right, is that sometimes the business part is really not as developed as it can be, or you don't have enough outside perspectives kind of looking in from other industries and saying, you know, this is probably not smart. Kudos to you for doing that.
I did a little book club with my winemakers after my MBA program of like, let's this is like an applesauce company. This is what the bottom line is. This is what COGS are. Here's what expenses are. You know, let's make sure we all are on the same page.
Yeah, that the COGS thing. I think a lot of winemakers don't know what that is.
I know. And like, you have so much impact. Like, oh my gosh.
The most impact.
The most. This is your world. Is your world.
We don't need a bunch of extra barrels hanging out. Maybe just enough. You know?
Yeah. Experimentation is good, but...
So it's making great wine that people are buying.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Prema Karolis. On the good stuff with our guest Prema from Three Sticks
Wines. And my favorite part.
I know. And Carissa is like chomping at the bit to pop a cork.
I mean, I might have over-exaggerated the popping a little bit out of excitement, but
I don't know. I think.
And it's so pretty.
It's really pretty. All right. So, Prema, tell us what you brought because Carissa's going to be busy drinking.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I brought we just released our rosé yesterday. So, I figured spring is springing.
Yes, it certainly is.
And now it's springing in my glass.
Exactly.
So it's sprung.
It's our Castagnata rosé. And it's a really fun rosé. It's a combination. There's some Pinot Noir in there, but it's also a Rhone field blend that's red and white grapes. So 60% red, 40% white. There's Grenache Noir, Grenache Blanc, Viognier Marsan, and some Syrah. So
That all adds up to delicious.
It's always been one of my favorites, I will say. Yeah. And you do it in these fun little...
I know, the packaging, the bottles.
The bottles. Yeah. So what's the story on the bottle?
Yeah, so it's called our Castagnata Rosé, which is named after the first man that lived in the Adobe, which is where our hospitality center is. And when we were sort of retrofitting the Adobe, we had to do some work in the garden, and we found an archaeological dig, like a hot spot. And there were it was so cool. And like an archaeologist came. I was like,
really?
How
did you know it was a hot spot? Digging and be like,
well, you can see it. Like, there's like just like all this material in there that's clearly not dirt. Like, it's, you know, ferrous material. There's iron. There's tons of ceramics, plate shards.
I was going to say that
is cool.
I find those on my property.
Yeah.
They're like people just threw stuff.
And it's usually the latrine, right? So that's where they put it. That's why it's a hot spot.
That's to think about. Okay.
Right.
Just keep on digging.
There's no truck, you know, coming around. Right. There's no garbage truck coming.
They just bury it.
And there were tons of glass bottles like this. So there's this sort of shouldery bottle and like a deeper like punt and heavy glass. And so this is not a heavy glass, but it's that same shape.
Yeah.
So it's really an ode to the history of the Adobe, which was built in the 1840s. So
that is so cool.
Yeah, it's really fun.
To your understanding, was that the norm bottle for wine at the time?
I mean, it could have been whiskey.
Anything?
It could have, exactly.
I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
Other things. But yeah, I wonder with wine.
Yeah, for sure. Huh. For sure, spirits and or wine. I think we did find a couple of soda bottles even. So like really just this heavy, gorgeous, same sort of shape that... Yeah, it's really
that just fascinating.
Did they say Sarsaparilla on them, or
it said the Petaluma Soda Company? on the glass, and it was an intact bottle. That one's really cool, and it's on display at the Adobe, so it's really fun.
Okay, so the Adobe is a big part of your story.
Yeah, so talk about that.
So
yeah.
And it's where people can come and experience Three Sticks kind of for the first
time. It's really our expression of hospitality and the experience that we want to give folks, and it's a historic home built in the 1840s, and there's all these little intimate seating areas and settings so that when someone comes in the front door, we want them to feel like they're coming into our home and that we can sit down and have a intimate conversation, have fun, like just really relax and enjoy the wine, learn, you know, whatever a guest wants from the experience, like we're prepared to give. You want to get technical about the wine, great. If you want to just catch up with your friends, that's also great. And, you know, there's this story of Sonoma County. We have 6 vineyards that span the Sonoma Coast and Sonoma County. So we get to sort of walk them through all of that, and there's food and wine pairings and, you know, all that fun stuff. But it's a really special place. I know you've both been there. It's very pretty. It's very unique. It's sort of like a hidden little gem.
And it's right off the square in downtown Sonoma.
Which is like what you don't expect.
Yeah.
To have the proximity to like the bustle of.
Plaza.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how did you decide on that spot? Because I imagine there might have been conversations about let's open a tasting room at one of the vineyards you know, there's a lot of different options. So how did you figure on this piece?
Well, in our early days, we were renting a little house for our offices on the other side of the plaza. Mm. And people started calling and saying, you know, we want to come taste your wines. And we weren't really prepared. We weren't a tasting room.
You're like,
but
what?
We'd be like,
what?
Okay.
You're like, I might have a bottle open.
Like, let's go sit in the garden. And there was something, and the feedback was always, this was not a fancy house. It was like a tiny little cottage. And people were like, this is so nice. Like the intimacy of that.
Yeah.
And the different type of hospitality, mm-hmm. that like very down to earth, you know, intimate connection with people. So we're like, well, maybe we should find something like that. And Bill's idea was that he really wanted to find something historic, that if we were going to put time and resources, money into something that, you know, there are a handful of historic properties and homes and places in Sonoma that really could use that love. And so that's what we were looking for. And, you know, there wasn't like there was a ton of options, but the Adobe was just perfect.
Mm.
There were other options, other Adobes even. But I walked into the front door of that for the first time and I was like, wow, you can feel it. Like there's like an alchemy there's a magic. And I just was like, oh, you know, and then there was even like this little other part where we could have a parking lot. I mean, it was like, it just fit every single thing that we were hoping, like on our wish list. And the people that live there and owned it are the Demlers, who I love and adore, and they took such good care of it. And so we just know the entire history. Mm-hmm. Like we have every deed of ownership, like back to when the Vallejos built it.
That's amazing.
Well, I was going to say, we always say Sonoma County, everything's about a sense of place.
Yes.
And so that's true of our vineyards and agriculture, but also true of this experience.
Yeah.
So to know that you have that as soon as you walked in the door, you can't really, it's either there or it's not.
Yes. Right.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I love about Sonoma, Sonoma County, and Sonoma in general is like, it's not fabricated.
Right.
It's just so real. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's very special.
Yeah.
So people can visit. How many visitors do you accommodate sort of at a time? It is very intimate and there's separate areas and stuff.
Yeah,
and so what do they experience when they come?
We have 5 or 6 tasting areas. And so, our groups are sort of 2 to 6, sometimes 8 people. So not a lot.
Yeah.
And we have a sort of a members lounge so that wine club members have a place where they can more casually come and, you know, have a bottle of wine and some nibbles or whatever.
Yeah, hang out.
So, yeah. Yeah, so on the weekends, it definitely books up. So if anyone's interested, give us a call.
Yeah, it's a great experience.
Yeah.
How many wines are in the Three Sticks lineup these days? You make a lot of single vineyard Pinots and Chardonnays.
Yep. Syrah. Yep. I think we're at 15 wines because we have 6 properties. And so we make, and a couple of them are Pinot only, but otherwise it's Pinot and Chardonnay, and then this Castagnata blend of Syrah and other things. Yeah. And we also make a Pinot Blanc, which is
I love Pinot Blanc.
It's so good.
It's really good.
I love it. It's so good.
I do love that wine. And there, for a time, there were a couple other brands under the kind of umbrella.
Yeah.
Head High, was that one of
Head
them?
Head High Wines, yep, exactly. And so Head High is a awesome project that I love. It's also Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. But it was sort of a response to that entry point of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay kind of going off.
Creeping up a little. Too expensive for some.
Yeah. Too expensive. And also just the style of it was so sweet and rich and, you know, sort of like getting away from what Pinot Noir is in our estimation. So that we created Head High as a response to that. Like let's challenge ourselves to make a Pinot Noir that is like Pinot, that's affordable. Mm-hmm. That's like that entry point, you know, that's sort of $20.
That's great.
Which is still premium.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's like anything above $15, I'm like, wait, what?
Yes. And then there's Gary Farrell and Kistler are part of the, you know,
portfolio.
Yeah, like our little collection of wineries. So
okay, not shabby company.
Not shabby company at all.
Well, some of my favorites.
We'll take another quick break and we can get a little bit more into all, you know, and the vineyard side of things too when we come back with Prema. On the good stuff, having a lovely conversation with our guest Prema from Three Sticks Wines. And let's talk a little bit about the vineyards, because you are, you know, you mentioned the 15 wines and many of those come from single vineyards. So what are sort of the marquee vineyards in your portfolio, and then talk a little bit about sustainability initiatives that you use in the vineyard.
Great. We have six vineyards, and we sort of break them into two categories. There's our heritage vineyards, and those are vineyards that we purchased that were already planted. And then there's our monopole vineyards. And so those are vineyards where we sought the site and we planted them ourselves. And there are also monopoles because they're small and all of the grapes come to Three Sticks. So so that's the relationship there. And because we planted them, they've been organic from day one in terms of the farming.
Nice.
And then the heritage vineyards are, you know, it's Durell Vineyard, it's Gap's Crown Vineyard, and Wallala Vineyard. And these are just incredible vineyards. So to us, we're like the stewards of these vineyards. We need to carry on the legacy and the quality of the fruit from those properties. Wallala is a smaller, less well-known of the three, but
and the hardest to get to.
And the hardest to get to.
So that's why.
Exactly. Yeah, that's out in West Sonoma Coast.
Way, way out.
3 hours or something from Sonoma. So, And all of our properties have been sustainably certified since the certification like really was available. Rob Harris is our VP of Vineyards, and he's super focused on that. So, and we have our own crew. We also work with contract labor when we need to do that. So we have our own crew like living and working on the monopoles. They're just very special. You know, Bill's always talked about sort of a string of pearls. Like it really is about like where is the fine, you know, where do the finest grapes come from?
Absolutely.
And that's what he's interested in. So, and Pinot and Chard is the name of the game for us. So.
And some of those heritage vineyards, the grapes are still sold to other producers.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I mean, we work with maybe 20, 25 other winemakers. And so Three Sticks is 100% estate. We don't buy grapes from anywhere, which is wonderful for us, but also very high risk. You know, like there's if there's a low yielding year, then that's it. And if there's a high yielding year, you know, that's also it. But yeah, we work with incredible
winemakers. You sounded like such a farmer then.
I know. This business changes you, Chris.
I know, it does. I hear you.
You got to wear so many hats. Yeah. One day you're a farmer, the next day you're
totally
looking at your cost of packaged goods. Yes.
Right, exactly. And then you're putting your lipstick on and yeah, going to host a dinner.
Totally. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You're never bored.
No.
Never bored.
No. Never ever
the
bored.
The highs and the lows.
Never ever bored. Yeah.
But, and you mentioned Don Van Steveren was was the first winemaker, but then at some point Bob Cabral came in for a couple of years.
Yep. And Bob came with Ryan Pritchard.
Okay.
And Ryan Pritchard is our director of winemaking. Yeah. So Bob and Ryan worked together at William Salium. Bob was our consulting winemaker and was with us for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And Ryan has been with us now for 10, and he's and of course been making the wines from day one, and he's just a phenomenal winemaker. He's a really wonderful person and person to work with. So I feel lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing wines.
Yeah.
We want to hit on an event that you have coming up very soon, but we are going to, if we run out of time, we'll come back and you can wrap it up with that. Right. But Destination Durell.
Destination Durell is so fun. It is just the most beautiful day out at Durell. We talked about Durell earlier. It's not open to the public and it has this absolute magic to it. And so this event is about like really being there and like and having our, it's not, you know, wine club members, mailing list members, whoever, our friends and family come, and it's food and music and all of our wines. We bring out library wines, and it's really a beautiful day.
And when is it?
And that happens April 26th.
April 26th.
Saturday, April
26th,
a week from today.
Oh,
next Saturday. Don't be listening to our show next Saturday. You should be out at Durell. Maybe you could put the show on up there.
How do people find out more on that?
Oh, yeah. Durell. Go to our website or just give us a call. Give us a call. Laurel's your woman.
So 3stickswines.com.
3stickswines.com.
Yeah, and follow along on Instagram at 3stickswines. Yeah.
Okay,
so get all the goods.
Going to take another break. We'll come right back to wrap things up on the good stuff. Out more about anything Destination Durell or Three Sticks, 3stickswines.com, as Carissa mentioned on the other segment. And the tasting room, I'll just say, is 143 West Spain Street in Sonoma, hours 9 to 5 every day.
Awesome.
Exclamation point, every day. Every day.
I mean,
just go. You have no excuse.
Your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday destination.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
Go every day. Day and every day.
All right.
There you go.
All right. So I think we covered everything that we hopefully wanted to cover about all things Three Sticks.
Yeah.
I think the experience is really the important part, either at the Adobe or up at the Vineyard. Try the wines. And speaking of wines.
I know. It's time for our Tuesday night. Open up a good bottle of wine because it's a Tuesday.
I know.
And we can.
Yes.
And you should.
Yes.
And we'll be finished with this rosé in a matter of minutes. So that won't be, that won't be the option.
That's like the starter for Tuesday night. It's like you start with the rosé and then you move on. Well, I'm going to jump right in because, you know, I love Chardonnay. And so I'm going to do the 2022 Gaps Crown Chardonnay from Three Sticks, which I've had on many occasions. And it's really, really good. I'll just say that much. I know.
Good choice.
Yes.
I also love Chardonnay.
I know you do, which is why we get along so well. Very compatible.
I also love Chardonnay.
Oh, well, look at
welcome
that.
To the
we
club.
We could start a whole other day
of Chardonnay.
We're
just going to get together on Tuesday night then. Yeah. It's all fun.
And drink Chardonnay. My option this time is the 2023 vintage, so mix it up a little bit, of the origin Chardonnay. Mm. What I love about that is it comes from what you spoke of earlier, the Heritage Vineyards, Durell, Gaps, and Wallala.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Beautiful.
Nice. What are you
going to
do?
So for me, I just got my Blue Farm shipment, which I'm super excited about. And I'm going to open a Pinot, even though I'm a white wine woman.
Love it.
And
we need some red wine, so you can come on over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And I love the vineyard right around Anna's house. So like the Anna Katerina vineyard is gorgeous. She does buy Gaps Crown. So it's like, is it the Gaps Pinot or the Anna Katerina? But I think it's got to be her vineyard. So
I love that.
That'll be it.
Those are great wines. Yeah. She's based in Carneros, another Sonoma legend.
She's awesome.
Yep.
No.
All right. Well, I think we've
We've covered everything.
Show. We've had a great show. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah,
thanks
so
for the
great
wine.
To see you guys. Yeah, enjoy.
And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.